Sarah.
You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Thursday, 14 May. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you across the World Wide Webs from Johannesburg, South Africa, on the show today. Mia Kruger from Kruger International. Global markets down again overnight. We're chatting with Cartrack. They're hiking dividends, transaction capital, as they go the other way, making provisions for the lockdown. Some morning headlines from the business day. Spur to approach banks for precautionary lifeline while it cuts salaries from June. And from Bloomberg, Wall Street heavyweights sound alarm about stock prices.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
With Mia Kruger, Director of Kruger International. Mia, thanks for your time this morning. I mentioned that Bloomberg headline just as we came in. We've seen the U.S. down the last two nights, a bit of weakness coming through. We saw Fed Chairman Powell delivering what I thought was a fairly grim outlook yesterday afternoon, our time, U.S. time, it was their morning. Have you been broadly buying into the rally we've seen in the last 6-8 weeks? Have you been selectively buying, or have you been pretty much on the sideline?
Hi, Simon. Good morning. We've actually been on the sideline. When we look at the valuations and when I read what most of the larger investors that's coming out now in the media, and Bloomberg's full of the stories. So, as you know, there are various websites with these stories where investors say that the market looks expensive. When we listen to the earnings calls and to the earnings updates coming out now, the S&P 500, there are so many companies saying that they can't give guidance due to the fact that they don't know where this downturn is actually going and how this is going to impact their earnings. So we feel the market is not very very attractive at this stage. We think that there's definitely room for a further downgrade. We think if earnings just stay where it is at the moment without even declining, that there's room for about another 20% drop in the S&P 500. So we're just definitely sitting on the sideline waiting for another opportunity to get into the market.
You make a great point there, a lack of guidance. And the U.S. is very big on giving guidance to the companies on a quarterly basis. Update, they haven't been. They've been pulling it. Warren Buffett at the Berkshire Hathaway AGM at the beginning of May, they're pulling back on buying back Berkshire Hathaway shares, and he said simply because the sellers don't have enough information. The short answer is we can't really invest, we can't make valuation decisions when we have so little understanding of what the future is going to look like. The next 6, 12, 24 months, we're flying blind. Best thing to do when you're flying blind is stop flying, or in this case, you know, maybe hoard some cash.
Absolutely. I think, you know, that's definitely the prudent thing to do at this stage, especially when you're managing clients' money. You know, I think the important thing for us is to be conservative. We were pretty conservative going into this pandemic. We didn't know that something was going to happen. But, you know, when markets are high, when valuations look, you know, a little stretched, when everyone is just too happy and there's just nothing to worry about, it's a good time to start, you know, being more cautious. And we did exactly that. So I think the current situation where we've seen, you know, we've seen a downturn, the market has actually recouped around between 60% and 80% of the losses, and we're actually seeing it sort of leveling out at this stage. It sounds to us that the market is really considering whether the run up was worth it, and the numbers coming out. I mean, this morning we saw the Australian numbers losing more than 500,000 jobs there. We know that the numbers are going to get worse from an economic perspective worldwide before it starts getting better. And you know, just with this opening of the economies worldwide, we've started seeing numbers in certain countries, especially in the East, you know, starting to tick up again. So people are still very, very uncertain about how this virus works and how it's actually transmitted. So there's really no sign for us until there's a definite or clear path to a vaccine and until we sort of see earnings bottoming out.
And I love that point. We're kind of the countries opening ahead of us in the East, and you know, we're seeing a bit in Europe. It gives us an insight as to how this is going to play out. You talk around avoiding the market. Are you therefore sitting in cash? Are you looking for perhaps yield? I mean, I look at our 10-year bond. It's come back markedly, but it's offering around about 9% or so.
Yes, you're right. You know, we definitely used the opportunity when the rates were sky high at unprecedented levels to start nibbling and increase our exposure there on the credit side. It worked well for us. You could see the yields have come back quite substantially. It's in the long term band now, so we don't think at this level it's particularly attractive to accumulate more. We'd much prefer to sit in cash. We really think that things will get worse before it gets better again.
We've got MPC coming up, not this week, but soon enough. We've already had two 100-point rate cuts locally. Do you think we could perhaps see yet another coming through, making it 300 points in what would have been literally 3 months?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy to think we're at these lows, but we do think that there's an opportunity or chance that the Reserve will cut the rates further. The estimate that we look at this stage is about a maximum of a further 50 basis point cut, possibly into two smaller cuts of about 25 basis points, but that all depends. We've seen the large moves the Reserve Bank has made up to date. We also know that the fact that the rand has stabilized to an extent in terms of its devaluation, and the low inflation rate that we're currently seeing, and with a risk to the downside, is actually playing into the hand of the economy, and that if we start seeing the economy opening again, that this will definitely help. We've estimated that the current coming down of the inflation rate has a similar effect, especially due to the fact that the petrol price and oil prices have come down so significantly, to have over a further 1% cut to it has the same effect than the stimulating effect than a further 1% cut to the interest rate. So we do think that the Reserve Bank will be cautious with cutting too far. We don't think that, you know, if they cut too far, it will have a much further stimulating effect to the economy, but we do think that there's room for a slight further cut.
We'll leave that there. That's Mia Kruger, Director, Kruger International. Mia, appreciate your time this morning.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Zach Calisto. He's the CEO of Cartrack. They had numbers to year-end February that came out yesterday. Subscriber growth up 17% to just over 1.1 million. HEPS up 28% at around 48. But the number that stood out and jumped and bit me in the nose was a dividend of 54 cents. Takes the full-year dividend to 74 cents. That up from 30 cents last year. Zach, really strong numbers coming out of Cartrack. Track, but in a world of disappearing dividends, you hiked yours markedly. You are cash generative. You've got a strong balance sheet, and you're showing that you've got confidence even during lockdown.
Thank you very much, Simon, for having me on the show. Good morning. We've invested in the business over the years. The shareholders have watched us prudently do quite a lot of capital allocation, specifically over the last 3 years, and it was very predictable for us that in 2020 and 2021, we'd start to really get the benefits of those investments, which will lead to a lot of free cash flow compared to the prior years. So we cut back dividends last year and the year before, knowing full well that our dividends would increase going forward. We were able to, during FY20, take all the debt out of our balance sheet, all the bank overdrafts. We had about 250 to 150 million rand in overdraft. We've cleaned that out. And this is extra cash that's lying on our bank accounts, but we don't have need for it, and we have paid out as dividends.
Yep,
clearly, our business is 97% is annuity-based. We've got clear visibility of what's happening in our business in March and April. We operate in 23 different countries. We've seen different policies and regulations in each country. And additionally to that, in each country, those regulations and policies keep on changing. And we believe that it will come sooner or later that economies can't continue in lockdown forever, because most economies will not be able to withstand it. And we believe that sooner rather than later, economies will all have to come back to normal, irrespective of the pandemic.
You mentioned the subscription basis, and that's the business model for CarTrack, and that's a strong model in any environment. In this case, it gives you, I imagine, really good sort of sight going forward. You mentioned you can see how business activity is going March and April. Your customers might be finding it tougher out there, lockdown across those many territories, but they're going to keep their CarTrack services. They're not going to suddenly walk away from that, and that gives you. You might lose a couple, but it gives you a strong sense of how you're going to trade, and that trading should remain fairly strong, even under lockdown.
Well, we believe so. Clearly, if the lockdown continues for many months, then obviously that's going to have a huge impact on our annuity-based business model. However, I don't believe there will come a time, with pandemic or no pandemic, the lockdowns will have to go, because you can't keep people locked up indefinitely in their houses, away from the office, and expect to be food on the table. So it's just a matter of time that the economies would have to go back, I won't say to normal, but they would have to take some economical sense, whether it takes another month, another 2 months, but I can't see this in a year's time. We're still in this situation.
Your subscriber base, as I mentioned, up 17%, just over 1.1 million. What's your sort of split between private individuals, someone such as me as having a CarTrack device in my car, versus larger corporates using your subscription services?
So we've of our total base, about 35% of it is individuals, and about 65% is companies, ranging from small companies to large corporates. That's 65%. And in our collections, where we saw less collections in April in comparison to our expectations, we were down 9%. That mostly came from actually large corporates that, you know, they were in lockdown and they weren't functioning as normal. We believe that 9% less collections that we experienced in April, once business goes back to normal, we'll then catch up on our collections.
And that corporate side, it's going to be logistic. It's going to be, you know, trucks on the highways delivering. In our level five, there certainly was a lot less happening. But when we start moving through the levels, we get to level three, those logistic companies are going to be back. They're going to be moving goods around the company, countries, and those 9% you perhaps weren't paying are going to be, to some degree, back paying and therefore back in business again.
Yes, I'm a great believer of that. So we already seen in May, and we're very fortunate because we've got a big visibility into the economies of 23 countries, which probably represents the world.
Yeah.
So we can already see, we're able to measure how many kilometers on average each user is doing per day or per month. And we've monitored that, and more or less in the middle of April, in the beginning of April, depending on which geography, we dipped to the, we could see globally the economic total catastrophe where there was very little mobility. And we already seeing every day the mobility starting to pick up. And we believe that given another 2 months, irrespective of the complexity of this pandemic that I believe nobody really fully understands, what I also believe is you can't keep the economies closed indefinitely because people need to eat, people need to move, and people need to, you know, you can't stop the economies indefinitely. So I believe that things will get back to as quickly as possible to normal. Mm-hmm. And I'm expecting that by the end of June, we have some normality in most countries.
Yeah, and you get great insight into that mobility happening and therefore the economy. That's CarTrack CEO Zak Calisto. He's on the line from Singapore. Appreciate the time.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Transaction Capital CEO David Hurwitz now. They had half-year results to 31 March. Two sets of results in a sense. Core headline earnings up 18% to 65 cents. But then they did some post-COVID adjustments. These are non-cash adjustments. And that therefore took the HEPS down 17% to 45.8. David, appreciate your time this morning. You're taking a cautious approach into the lockdown. You're writing down in some tax SA Taxi, creating provisions, determine your transaction capital risk services, reducing the book value. In essence, you're getting a sense of what you saw in April, and you're positioning the company for it, getting ready for what is going to be a tough year or two.
Yes, you know, really our year, our half year end was to 31 March. And in truth, we had no impact or very little impact on our business during that period. And the business has performed very well. You know, since we've listed, we've grown earnings at an annual compound rate of about 20%. And for this 6 month period, we had actually grown earnings by 19%. So a very, very good and robust performance. Pre the effects of COVID. What we've done, though, is we've looked forward and said we do expect short-term cash flow disruption. By way of example, we gave our taxi operators a repayment relief program that they didn't have to repay their loans for the month of April. And we also gave them an insurance relief program where they didn't have to pay the insurance premium but kept cover. Mm-hmm. And that disruption in cash flow obviously will have an effect in the 2020 financial year. So really what we decided to do was to say, let's try and quantify that now, put it into our accounts, get it behind us, and then move forward. So post those adjustments, our earnings went backwards. But I think what we are seeing is that our business models are relevant. Our business is performing well. And yes, there will be some disruption. I heard Zach talking now. He's predicting a quick recovery post-June. We've taken it a bit longer and said we expect the 2020 year to be a difficult year, but our business will then come back on track for the 2021 year.
Yeah, I mean, your businesses, I mean, and we'll focus on the taxi side. I mean, the majority of the South African population move from A to B via those taxis, which you're supporting via, you know, as you say, funding, insurance and the like. Occupancies at this point are obviously down. That's the social distancing. That's coming from our transport minister. But truthfully, we need these taxis to still be there as we come out of lockdown. This is how South Africa moves from A to B. They're an essential service, and they're critically important, and you are supporting that essential service. My question then is, are you or perhaps the industry getting support from government? There's the COVID loan guarantee scheme from government. Is that available to you or perhaps your taxi clients?
Yes, I think your points are all correct. First of all, the one thing we've learned through this pandemic is that the minibus taxi industry is absolutely indispensable. The second thing that we're learning and that we've seen is that the industry will be one of the first to recover, because what we've seen in terms of the movements of our fleet, we have telematics devices or tracking mm-hmm. devices in all of our vehicles, and we saw about 68% of our fleet move and operate during the lockdown period, and the average taxi was probably driving for about 58% of its usual drive time, the average taxi that operated. So activity was significantly down, but as soon as we went from level 4 to level 5, we saw that jump quickly. And, you know, what that really says is that as these restrictions are eased and people need to start moving around as the economy opens, the thing that precedes the economy opening will be commuter movements. And that is caught in the minibus taxi industry. So we expect this industry to recover very quickly. Unfortunately, the industry, and this is an age-long issue, is not subsidized.
Yeah.
Bus and train is subsidized. Minibus is not subsidized. There is a theory that says that the industry doesn't pay tax. That's really not true. They pay huge amounts of VAT on the price of the vehicles. They pay fuel levies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, many do pay income tax. So there is a gripe. The feeling of the industry is that they have not been supported enough by government. Government is in a very difficult place. What we've done is we have tried to support. So we've given those two loan relief programs, and we've spent more than 7 million rand in supporting the industry around health and safety. So we've invested into sanitizing ranks, sanitizing taxis in the ranks as they turn after each trip, and then providing hand sanitizer to commuters and face masks to commuters as well as taxi drivers. So we've tried to support, but look, I guess the government's in a tough place. The whole economy needs support. and they're trying their best.
We'll leave that there. That's David Hurvitz, CEO, Transaction Capital. Do yourself a favor. Go have a look at their balance sheet. Strong, liquid, ungeared. It's what we could call perhaps conservative, but at this point in the pandemic, it is the balance sheet you want to be looking at. That's it for today. You'll find us live every morning, 6:30 on moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app. Podcast in your favorite podcatcher or on the MoneyWeb platforms from 7 a.m. My thanks to our guests and to Cordora and Eddie for helping with the show and putting it together. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. And we'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.